This is Exposé 247, where we scream, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Yeah, we try to take your eyes off those drama and activities and refocus it on Christ, which is the main personality, and that's what we've been doing. And so for the person that just joined, I was just new and was asking questions, what's this all about? And you just joined when in the episode of As Your Pastor Handed Right to Raise an Offering. I want to let you know that we have other episodes like Stop Pointless Giving. Will God bless you according to the amount that you give? Then we have Talk Tough and Cut the Supply Chain. Mm-hmm. And if you find that one very good enough, you might need to go back and listen to the knockout series on timing and season and when is God visiting. Shunt the Queer, you know, and have your miracle now and the likes like that. And if you find that educative enough, you might want to binge on the Prodigal Father series, like about 27 episodes. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to learn. So we're going to continue today in the seamless tradition of allowing the word to do what the word alone can do. So we're trusting God today that we're going to knock out and blow off some bundles of lies and have truth about giving again. Yes, I say giving again, sowing, reaping, and all the likes. Is that so?
Yeah, that's it. Now, viewers all over the world, don't forget the vision behind this knockout series. And the vision remains that we've actually started a vision from Colossians 2 verse 8 that says, don't allow anyone to cheat you of your benefit in Christ through philosophies and the vain traditions of men. So what that simply means is there are some things you listen to, there are mentalities that you subscribe to that deprives you of the benefit you have in Christ Jesus. And those are the very things we are knocking out on this series. And we've been on this knockout series on giving for quite some time, and we're going to make progress with that today. Now, I think she's already talked about those previous episodes, so I don't want to go back on that again. Now, we've been going through this giving series, and we've been looking at what the Word of the Lord really says as opposed to what men's traditions teaches us. And today, I'm going to kickstart with the book of Luke chapter 12. Now, people are asking the question, what about the law of sowing and reaping? Because we've actually talked about the fact that the only reason why you are blessed is because of the poverty of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that even though he was rich, yet for your sakes, Christ became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. So over the past three episodes, we've established the fact that the benefit of God in your life is only dependent on the exchange that happened between you and Christ. And it has nothing to do with your giving. And then people begin to ask the question, what about the law of sowing and reaping? What about the fact that Jesus said, give, it shall be given unto you? Where do we place that? And we say, well, let the word of God explain itself. Let us not read our creed, our greed into his creed. Let the word explain itself. So today we're going to look at the very concept of sowing and reaping and see what Jesus actually thought about sowing and reaping and what is the kingdom perspective on the law of sowing and reaping. Now, follow us to Luke chapter 12. I'll read from verse 24. Now, we're going to look at scriptures, and then we're going to do a lot of exegesis today. Luke 12, 24. He said, consider the ravens. Now, this is Jesus teaching. If you have a Bible that is marked in red, they will put these words in red to actually signify this is the very teaching of Jesus. This is not some apostolic revelation. This is Jesus himself teaching the word in the book of Luke 12, 24. And it says, consider, you see, think about it. It says, meditate upon the ravens. And it says, what? For they don't sow nor reap. Now, it's very important that Jesus actually, out of all the possibilities of birds, that Jesus can actually choose as an example. I mean, for those who do anything about birds or species of birds, I'm not an expert in this area, but I'm assuming that there will probably be hundreds, if not thousands, of bird species all over the world. Now, Jesus was going to give us a teaching about the law of sowing and reaping, and he was going to use a bird. Now, specifically, the choice of Jesus is very important. He's chosen to use a raven. Now, if you read Matthew's gospel, Matthew just says a bird. In general, it's the fowl of the air. But thank God for Dr. Luke, who actually told us that it's not just about the fowl of the air that Jesus referred to. Jesus was specifically referring to the ravens. Now, you don't forget the fact that the ravens are a bird with a very, very terrible habit. Now, because the ravens, in fact, the Bible talks about when false ministers of the gospel come to merchandise the body of Christ, The apostles call them ravenous beasts. Mm-hmm. The word ravenous talks about a bird that is actually, in fact, if you read Wikipedia about a raven, it would simply tell you that ravens are actually what we call predators. When they're opportunist birds, what they do is they are omnivorous and they eat both plants and animals. But not just that, they actually prey on other birds. They are predators. Now, one thing about about raven is they are so terrible that a raven is so stingy and so selfish that when a raven actually catches food, it will not even give to its own young. That's how bad a reputation ravens have. Now, Jesus was going to teach us about the principle of sowing and reaping, and the only bird that Jesus could actually figure out to use was a raven. Mm-hmm. That's quite mind-blowing. Now, let's talk about it. It says, consider the raven. Think about the raven. It said, the ravens actually don't sow or reap. It says, they're not busy working the sowing and reaping principle, but I said, watch this. It said, they don't even have a storehouse. They don't have a barn. They don't have a place they can actually, hide away everything they're actually gathering so that they can actually, at least, in this case, Jesus Christ refers to hiding up in the barn as a principle of, sowing, because if you're actually saving up, that's like sowing so that you can reap in the time of what? Tension. So you can reap back in the time of trouble. Jesus said, the ravens don't sow, and of course they don't reap, and they have no barn to keep the things. They have no storehouse. He said, but yet, now, that's the word. That's the word. He said, and God feeds them. Mm-hmm. So he says, the ravens. Now, the reason why I said, and God feeds them, is because, don't forget, these birds don't even deserve the favor of God. Now, don't forget, they are ravens. They're not even sparrows. They're not even doves. These are ravens. If any bird doesn't deserve God's favor, if there's a bird that doesn't deserve the mercy of God, they're the ravens. And Jesus used that example to show you and I that, see, what these birds are getting is what they don't deserve. Now, going down to even their behavior as a bird, they are badly behaved birds. They don't even have good manners. They have bad reputation as birds. But Jesus said, yet, despite the fact that these birds don't operate the law of sowing and reaping, they are fed by your Heavenly Father. Now that tells you that Jesus is making a very foundational and critical statement here to simply say God operates much higher than the law of sowing and reaping. I repeat, Jesus is not even actually not acknowledging that sowing and reaping doesn't exist. Can you see that? The reason why Jesus said they don't operate sowing and reaping is because sowing and reaping as a concept does exist. As a principle, sowing and reaping exists. There is no doubt about that. Jesus is not disputing the fact that sowing and reaping doesn't exist. But Jesus Christ said, the Father in heaven relates with the ravens much more beyond the law of sowing and reaping. Now, please lay your hands on that and hold on to that before we go into other verses. I understand. Now, before you actually, before you cut me in what I'm saying, I understand that there are so many scriptures that talks about sowing and reaping, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We're going to come to that. Just hold on. We're going to come to those verses. But Jesus is simply saying the Father in heaven can operate the higher principle beyond the law of sowing and reaping, which makes the ravens get what they don't deserve. And now that's one thing we've laid. Now let's go on again and see what this law of sowing and reaping, how the Father sees it. Now Luke 19 again. We're going to look at chapter 19. Now before I go to Luke 19, please, before I go to Luke 19, he said there's something that comes to heart in this particular Luke 12, and I want you to take note. You see, when Jesus was teaching this thing about the ravens not sowing and then reaping, Jesus said something before that. You see, if you look at the verse 22, verse 23, it was an expose that Jesus was giving about the issue of not worrying about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink. And he said, your Heavenly Father knows you have need of those things.
I think now, we need to go into it so that people can understand where it comes in.
Okay, you can read that from verse 22, please.
And he said unto his disciples,
okay,
therefore I say unto you,
okay,
take no thought for your life,
okay,
what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment.
Now, so simply Jesus connects. Now, the teaching about worrying and anxiety, it connects it to the law. So, he said the reason why people are worrying and they are worked up to death about how tomorrow is going to happen to them is because people believe that they should only get what they deserve. And that's why people are worked up to death. Now, that's why Jesus connects this issue about raving actually being able to benefit from the Father, not based on the law of sowing and what?
And reaping.
Jesus is saying, well, the reason why those birds don't worry is because they don't have to depend on the law of sowing and reaping. So the reason then why people are worked up with anxiety, why people are actually worried up, is simply because people have subjected themselves to the law of sowing and reaping. That's why the law of sowing and reaping concept comes right in the same Luke chapter 12, verse 22. Now let's go quickly to Luke 19 and see again this principle of sowing and reaping. And we want to see how Jesus actually teaches this. Luke 19, we're going to read from verse 21, if you can read that, please. Luke 19 from verse 21. What does it say then?
Maybe from 20.
Okay. Is it from 20? Okay.
The whole story?
Okay, we can read it from,
15.
Yeah, from 15, you can read from that.
And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom,
yes,
then he commanded his servant to be called unto him.
Okay.
To whom he had given the money,
mm-hmm,
that he might know how much every man had gained by trading.
Now, it means Jesus was given a parable here.
Yeah.
Now, let's watch out the mystery of what Christ would actually reveal through this parable. And don't forget, every time a parable is spoken, it's because Jesus wants to reveal a mystery of the kingdom by using natural stories. So let's see what Christ has to reveal through this parable. And of course, if you were with us on our last series, you understand every time Christ gave a parable, in most cases, those parables were triggered by an event in the natural. And unless we look at the event in the natural that triggered the parable, we might not get the whole point of the parable. Now, please, I wanted to read that thing, actually, what actually happened in the natural.
Start from 12 so that people can understand.
Yeah, even before you read from verse 12, I mean, something actually did happen in the natural. Look at verse 8. What happened was what triggered the parable of Jesus. Look at verse 8, please. Luke 19, 8. What does it say?
And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor.
Okay.
And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation,
yeah,
I restore him fourfold.
Okay.
And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to their house. For so much as this also is the son of Abraham.
Okay.
For the son of man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Verse 11.
Okay.
And as they heard this thing.
Now watch that. As they heard this thing. Some people heard what Jesus said about the fact that, well, salvation has come to Zacchaeus. And some people heard what Jesus said. Now, see how they reacted. What did they say?
He added and spake a parable.
And then continue, please.
And because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear.
Okay, now go on, please.
And verse 12.
Verse 12. Now, watch this.
He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return.
Okay.
And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds.
Okay.
And said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Mm. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, that he commanded his servant to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Mm. Then came the fourth, saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 10 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And he said unto them, well thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities.
Okay.
And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound I gave 5 pounds.
Okay.
And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities.
Mm.
And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man, thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow.
Before you carry on, now this servant who actually did not profit with the pound that he was given or with the talent he was given, he laid an accusation against the master.
Yes.
And he said, the reason I've done nothing with what you've given me is because I found out you seem to be operating a different principle.
An austere man.
Now, you're an austere man, you're a hard taskmaster, and it says you are operating a different principle from the conventional principle. Now, watch what he accused the master of. He accused him of trying to reap what he did not sow. Now, that's very important. Now, because this particular servant was offended, because he felt the master wasn't operating a principle, the principle that is well known. He said, the reason I've refused to do anything with what you've given me is because I'm offended by your system. In your system, I found that you would want to reap where you have not, or what you have not sown. And that's what he did say to the master. Now again, we see this situation happen. Now see what the master told him. Now see what he told him. What did he say then?
Verse 22, and he said unto him,
okay,
out of thy whole mouth will I judge thee,
okay,
thou wicked servant,
okay,
thou knewest that I was an austere man,
okay,
taking up that laid not down,
okay,
and reaping that which I okay. did not sow.
The master admitted the fact that, okay, I appreciate that you know my principle. I appreciate that you actually know how I operate. I understand that. I appreciate that you know. Now, it means the master refused to dispute this principle by which you operate. He said, I know that you know this, and I appreciate that you know this. So what did he say next?
Wherefore,
okay,
that then givest not thou my money to the bank.
Okay, now, givest thou my money to the bank, okay?
That at my coming,
okay,
I might have required my own with usury.
Okay, with interest, with a return on investment. Now, watch this. Now, it means from what the master said, there are two principles at work. The master said, even simply, based on the fact that you know that I like to reap where I did not what?
So
you could. Now, if you notice, he actually contrasted a different principle to his own principle. He said, at least you could have put the money in the bank and there could have been an investment, a return on an investment. Now, if you, at least the worst case scenario, you could have even left my principle and operate the basic principle of sowing and reaping, so I could have been a return on my investment. Now, the reason I've said that is because this shows us the master had a different principle that the servant acknowledged. But at least the master said, if you could even operate in my principle of reaping of where we did not sow, you could at least have come down to the most natural, basic principle. Now listen, the law of sowing and reaping is a fundamental principle of life. The law of sowing and reaping is the system by which this world operates. Think about it. Have you noticed that the world system we are in at the moment only gives to people based on the level of value that a person has? For example, in companies, people get paid salaries in most cases based on how much level of expertise, based on how much education they have, based on how much skill they possess. So the world system rewards people based on how much they put in or how much they put into it. Now, this is how the world system works, and it's a natural principle. But let me say this anyway. There are exceptions to the rule, because Ecclesiastes tells us that even the battle is not always to the strong anyway. Mm-hmm. And it says even food is not always to men who are always what? Wise. So, I mean, there are exceptions even to that principle in the natural realm. But in most cases, in this system of this world, people only get what they deserve. People only get what they actually have the level of competence to retain in their life. And that's why you put money in the bank. It is how much you put in the bank that determines how much interest that comes back to you. It is so generally, we are in a world system that operates on the principle of sowing and what? And reaping. For example, if you do good to people, you should expect them to do good back to you. For example, if you behave well to people, you expect them to behave well back to you. Now, like I said, it doesn't mean there are no exceptions, but at least in most cases, the general principle is you do it to me, I'll do it to you. That is how the system of the world works. And that's why this master told the servant, you could have at least have operated the basic natural principle of sowing and what? And reaping. I could have put the money in the bank. At least there could have been a return on my investment. Don't forget, that was an alternative principle to the higher principle by which the master was operating. Now, the question you want to ask is, what principle was the master operating? What was this servant annoyed about? Don't forget, he was basically annoyed because he thought the master wasn't operating law of sowing and what? And reaping. And if I ask you a question, V was all about the word. Let's look at this. What actually happened in this particular parable? Now, this parable is so deep and so loaded that it might take lots of series to actually break it down. But I'm going to summarize the key thing in this parable. Have you noticed in this parable that what the master gave them was talent or pounds, as the case might be? But watch the exchange that happened. What the master gave them to actually work with, to invest, was actually in terms of talent, in terms of some kind of pound. But see, by the time the one of them said, I've brought to you 10 more pounds to what you gave me. See what happened? There was an exchange. The master gave him to be what, to what? Be a ruler over cities. Now the question is, what is the connection between cities and talent? I thought the team that he actually invested, what he gave them were talent. But by the time they brought back the talent, there was an exchange. What they had were cities. Now listen, it is a mystery of the kingdom where Jesus was simply saying that what those servants deserved was what the master took. And what the master, because the master was a ruler, what he had was what he gave the servants. I'll say that again. If you're going to believe in the law of sowing and reaping, God operates by a higher principle. God operates by a deeper principle beyond the principle that we think he does operate in. And the principle we see in this particular story was, what the servant brought were pounds and talents, but what the master gave to them were cities, not even in the same realm of what they were actually investing with. The wisdom in that is to tell you that what we end up getting from the Father is the Father's resources, not ours. Now listen, I'll say that again. That's why the Bible tells us that all we need for life and godliness has been given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that he that knew no sin was made sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God in him. What these people deserved, for example, I'm going to ask you a question. If you invested in talent, what should you get? You should get talent.
Fourteen talents.
What is the connection between cities and talent? If you invest in cities, you should get cities. That's why when people actually, see, we're going to come to that very soon. Galatians 6, when it says that, talking about sowing and reaping, people use that verse when they simply say, you know what the Bible says? He that sows, he said, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sow in that shall he also reap. So they tell you that if you want to reap in pounds this year, 2017, you've got to sow in that realm. If you want to reap in dollars, you got to sow in dollars. If you want to actually move up the ladder, you've got to sow up. And people talk about all these principles. And the question you want to ask, like I said, we're going to come to Galatians 6 very soon. The question you want to ask is in this place, in this parable, does it make any sense that these people were given pounds or were given talent to trade it, but what they got eventually were cities? It means that what they actually invested with were pounds and talent, and what they got were cities. Now, the summary, the only way you can understand that is that they got what they did not deserve. That's the point. They got cities. They got cities. They didn't get what they deserved. They got cities. Now, this is the whole mystery of sowing and reaping. As far as the kingdom of God is concerned, we never get what we deserve. In fact, what we have today was what Christ deserved. I'll say that again. Everything we have in the kingdom is not what we deserve. It is what Christ deserved. That's why the Bible tells us only Jesus was perfectly obedient. Philippians 2 tells us that he was obedient even to the point of the death of the cross. He was perfectly obedient to the Father. He kept all the law to the letter. And if you think you are there, you can keep God's law to the letter, you don't know the demands of God's righteousness. Only Jesus satisfied heaven's demands. And when he did, it wasn't for himself. He did it for us. Because everything he received of the Father, he transferred over to us. And everything that we deserved, everything that we deserved, everything of the law of consequence, the of sin and death that we deserve, Christ took it upon himself. So at the cross, we have a divine exchange taking place. Christ got what we deserved. And where we got what Christ deserved. And that's what the Bible tells in Galatians 3:13. We've said this before. It said Christ was made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that is hung on a tree. So when it comes to how the Father relates with us, all we get from the Father is what Christ deserves. And all that Christ got was what we deserve. And that's why Christ had to die on the cross. So what we are simply saying is, when it comes to the Father is simply telling us that he operates much higher than the law of sowing and reaping, which is a natural concept. Now, that is why in this parable, you've noticed that these men were given talents, but what they got was actually what? Cities. And the reason why they got that is because the master was operating higher than the law of sowing and reaping. And that's the reason why the servant was annoyed. That's why he complained to the master. He said, why do you want to operate a law that doesn't make any sense? Why do you want to operate beyond what should be? And you see, one thing that comes to heart in this particular parable, and if you're listening there, is this. If we don't operate by the principle of the Father, we can downgrade our lives to operate by the natural principle. And that's why the master told him in this parable, he said, at least you could have put my money in the bank. At least if you know you couldn't operate by the principle of the Father, you could have gone the way down and bring everything down and just go down to sowing and reaping. And that's the reason we say this. If you want to operate your life, if you want to walk in your Christian journey where you want to say, what, Father, I want to happen to me, how far I can go. That's why we did a particular series. The last one, the last two episodes, where we said, does God bless you according to the amount that you give? Now, if you decide to reduce your walk will go to that level. God will operate with you as far as you understand. That's why God will come down to your level. But why will you allow God to come down to your level instead of you upgrading yourself to God's level? That's why the master told his servant, he said, you could have at least have invested the money in the bank. At least if you know you couldn't operate with my principle, you could have just gone down and operated the natural principle. And that's what we see in this particular what series. And you see, that's the reason why in Philippians chapter 4, when the apostle Paul was going to talk to the Philippian brethren, even though Paul confessed the fact that no other church in all of the churches communicated with Paul as to giving and receiving based on that principle. But when Paul was going to speak back to the Philippian brethren, Paul never said, oh, Philippians, you've actually given me some. In fact, Paul said something about the Philippian brethren. Paul said when he was in Thessalonica, when he left Philippi, he said the Philippian brethren were still giving to him, even when he was in Thessalonica. Now, despite that fact, when Paul was going to declare and pray for them, Paul said in Philippians 4:13, my God shall supply your needs according to his riches. How come Paul did not say to the Philippian brethren, because you have given to me, I say God bless you based on your giving. Paul never said that. Can you see that? The apostle Paul never said to them that I pray God bless you, Philippian brethren, according to your giving. Even though Paul confessed that no other church communicated with him concerning giving and receiving except the Philippian church. Read Philippians chapter 4. But yet, when Paul would pray for them, Paul said, I'm praying that you will get what you don't deserve. I'm praying that my God shall supply your needs according to his own riches, not according to what you gave, according to his own riches. So we see a situation where in this particular parable of Jesus in Luke 19, that we see the master getting so frustrated with his servant and telling him, well, if you don't operate my principle, just go down and operate the lower principle of sowing and reaping. And we say the same thing to the to the body of Christ. If we refuse to walk in the full grace of our Lord Jesus, fully knowing that everything we get today as Christians is what Christ deserved, and everything Christ got is what we deserve, if we don't operate by that principle, we can bring ourselves down to operate a so much basic natural principle. And if you do, if you do what Jesus said in Luke 6 will come to pass in your life. He said it will lead to anxiety, it will lead to worry. Because why? It's all based on your performance, you see? So you are actually bound to be worrisome. You are bound to be under pressure. But that's why if you look Luke chapter 6, Jesus simply said, before he talked about that the ravens don't sow and don't reap and your heavenly Father feeds them, before that verse, he talked about the fact that don't worry about what you eat or drink. So the reason why there's so much pressure on people today, for example, the day you actually unable to give in church, the day you can't actually give your offering, you are so scared and you are so actually under pressure, wondering how God will favor you throughout the year. Now that is not kingdom thinking. That's not kingdom reasoning. We've said it before again and again, that the reason why you are able to give is because you understand that you are blessed of God. And that's why Paul told the Corinthian brethren, before he taught them on giving, Paul told them, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, before he began to ask them to give in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And that's what we see today. Now, let's go on. So, now...
Oh, before you go on, I just hope that our audience could see what I'm seeing here. I think you are catching the revelation. Because in Luke 12, Luke 19, we are both established there that there's the working principle, the natural working principle of sowing and reaping.
Yeah.
Even the master was not disputing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a sowing and reaping. Mm. So definitely some people now are living their life basically. They base their life, they're working on that working principle. Mm. If they don't sow, if they don't sow in a particular month, if they don't do the first fruit, if they know that they can't get anything done. Fine, we can see. You are not the first person doing that. Mm-hmm. We can see that it has been an age-long tradition. Mm-hmm. Even Jesus said it in Luke 12, that is what, even the plant, and if we put a corn down, that is the word is on that. That's the working principle. Mm-hmm. Then we now begin to see that there's a higher principle there, even we saw that contrasted with the ravens, that you can live your life beyond the sowing and reaping. Fine, it's good if you are comfortable with sowing and reaping, but you can live it in a higher way and a better system on the God's principle, which is higher than sowing and reaping. You even get in returns. It's not, we are not talking about percentages here, we're not just saying folds.
So, in things
you cannot, in things you cannot even quantify, you know, you can't put it on any scale, you know, because you can't put talent in the pans with cities, you know.
How can you give men cities when all you gave them to work with was talent. Now, that is...
So that is enviable, because if you even say you are comfortable in sewing and reaping, you just have to think again. Because if you are sewing and reaping, it's still in folds. That's why they tell you, come and you sew, you get 100 folds of these blessings, 1,000 folds and everything. It's still in folds. It's still on that same scale. But now we are telling you that if you go on that higher pedestal, the highest principle of God, beyond the sewing and reaping, in which he even dealt with the ravens.
Now, ravens don't deserve God's favor. Ravens are terrible birds. They don't deserve God's favor.
So you can get it beyond the scale of what, in the realm, beyond the realm of what. And that is what we have been. And it's in continuation of what we have been sharing in that Philippians, in the, according to his riches, you know. Because if you sow according to the money, so if it is according to the naira that you sow, and then when there's devaluation, you know, you are in trouble. You know, if anything happens to the economy, you are in trouble. It's according to that money, according to the nations, according to their stability and policy. But according to his riches, you know, in glory. So nobody can quantify that. No bank, no vault can hold that according to his glory. So that is the level we are encouraging you to. Because some people felt like we are just antagonizing sowing and reaping. It's established. We know that sowing and reaping, but we are calling you.
It's a basic law. I mean,
it's a basic law. How would you want to stay basic? How do you just want to be just normal?
Now,
we are calling you to the
extraordinary life. You cannot perform? What about when you cannot perform? That's the problem. You come under pressure. You come under. That's why you people are
worry.
Fearful. You worry. You are anxious. And because why? You subjected yourself. And you see, in the kingdom of God, what happens is, you see, Romans chapter 8 says something. It says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. One thing that happens is, the Bible says, the spirit lost against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. What happens is, anytime we subject ourselves to a different law, we set aside the grace of God. And that's why Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness could be achieved by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. It means every time we decide to set aside God's grace, we actually open ourselves to a different system. And that's why so many Christians have subjected themselves and put their lives under a principle that says, I must only get in my life what I deserve. And that's a principle that puts your life under pressure.
And so we are still reiterating this point again. I mean, we cannot take the grace of God out of this giving thing. You know, that's, it's still the grace of God. So you still have to base. It's a grace-based giving. So you just have to come to that grace-based giving. If not, you are going to be dragged down to the lower level of sowing and reaping. They drag you back to Malaika, to the cursed life. So if you don't have anything to give forth, then you are cursed.
You
cannot sow, then you cannot reap.
That's the point.
That's the way. You don't want anybody to drag you. That's why you should listen and listen for your future, listen for your life now, so that you can come to a higher level beyond that realm. We understand it's established. It's a realm of sowing and reaping. We are not disputing that. Even the master was not disputing that.
But the master said, you know that actually I like to reap where I did not sow. You know that.
So we are calling you to a higher level. That is a grace-based giving. We are not saying you should not give. Grace-based giving, giving the understanding that the Father operates in a higher system, higher above the working principle of man of sowing and reaping. That's why it's God. You know, it's the human system, so it's what you give into the system. That's why you have love, karma, you see,
yeah,
do
love,
good,
karma.
All those things.
You
that's
good.
The natural thing. But, and as it has come to the church, the church have reduced themselves to that. So the operating system is the world system now.
If the law of karma works, in this case, the raven should actually go hungry.
Yes.
It doesn't deserve any of the father's feeding. The raven doesn't deserve it at all. And I think that's the reason Jesus used the bird raven, to show us that even things that don't deserve it, they can get what they don't deserve.
So if you want to stay in the sowing and reaping level, that is a shame, because you just get in returns of what you sow.
And if you cannot perform, you are in trouble.
Yes, and then you have worry. That is the thing. You live a life of worry and anxiety. You have to sow up and the likes. But we are calling you to a higher level and see the new system of God here. And that's, we are calling you to the grace-based giving. And that is what he said. You know, in that whole testament, he said, if you are willing and obedient, it's just tied to those willingness and obedience, then you hit the good of the land. Well, you know, we have Christ now, who has the perfect obedience. You know, you can reap the reward of his perfect obedience.
But Christ was the one that obeyed perfectly, and you get the benefit of it. And that's why he said, I've called you to actually enjoy the reward of other men's labor. And that's what he said in the gospel. That.
So you don't stay at that level of sowing and reaping. Come higher to the grace-based giving, and knowing that God gives beyond what you can sow, in the realms, in the scale beyond what you can sow or reap.
I mean, we said something that is very important before we go to the next few verses. You know, that's why James chapter 1 said something. Okay. He said, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask from God who gives liberally without finding fault. Can you see that? Let him ask from God that gives without finding fault. It then again shows us a God who gives men what they don't deserve. And that's it means then every time God relates with us. Now, I think the confusion for so many Christians is because we've forgotten the fact that we operate two different systems at the same time. You see, there's a connection between us and God, and the connection between us and this current world where we live in, because we are humans. Now, even though the Bible says we are spirit, soul, and body, and the Bible says that God is the Father of spirit, and the Bible says our spirit beareth witness with the Holy Spirit that we are sons of God, and the Bible says that we worship God, must worship God in spirit and in truth, but also in the natural realm, we relate with men on this level. And we've forgotten the fact that when it comes to relating with the Father, the law of sowing and reaping doesn't work with the Father. Now, how did I know that? Jesus said categorically in that Luke chapter 6, he said, even the ravens who don't sow or reap, in Luke 12, sorry, he said the Father feeds them. He said, now you see, there's a place Jesus Christ compared us to sparrows. He said, are you not of much value than birds? If God could relate with birds beyond the law of sowing and reaping, how will God then bring himself down to operate with you who has more value than birds? And God says, well, with man, I will just stick to sowing and reaping. Do you get that? Jesus, as long as it comes to the Father, sowing and reaping doesn't work with God. And that's what you need to know. Every time you give your offering, every time
in the New Testament.
But in the New Testament, sowing and reaping doesn't work with the Father. Of course, sowing and reaping works with man in the horizontal. It means, for example, in the world we are in, people only understand sowing and reaping, but not with the Father. And you see, you cannot extrapolate your daily experience onto God, where you think the more I perform, the more God will love me more, and the less I perform, the less God will love me. He doesn't operate with the Father, because the Father only looks at you through the lens of Jesus Christ. And if the Father will reject Christ, that's the only basis of rejecting you. And that's why the Bible says anytime we pray, we should pray in the name of Jesus, not in your name. Not in your performance.
It's
you
not
pray.
Just about chanting names.
It's not that when the Bible says pray in the name of Jesus, it's not about chanting in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In fact, I mean, I think we'll talk about the time when Paul did ask demons to come out of that lady, and Paul never said in Jesus' name. In fact, there are times you see prayers in the Bible where they don't say in Jesus' name. It's not about chanting the name of Jesus. It's about you standing in the place of Christ? Are you telling the Father, if you cannot reject Christ, you can't reject me? Why? Because the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, can you see that? If anyone is in Christ, I know we quote that verse. We say, if anybody is in Christ, a new creation. Do you know what that means? It means you are in Christ. You are inside Christ. So when the Father looks at you, all he can see is Christ. So that is the basis of getting anything from the Father. So let's summarize this. Sowing and reaping doesn't work vertically to God. Because all we get in the New Testament, all we get is what Christ deserves. So when the Father looks at us, all he can see is Christ. And don't forget, he has said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So Christ is accepted by the Father already. So if you are in Christ, you are accepted. You are accepted. God doesn't love you anymore when you do the right thing. And God doesn't love you any less when you do the wrong thing. I think I need to highlight that again. In the New Covenant, in the blood of Jesus, God doesn't love you anymore when you do the right thing. Neither does God love you any less if you do the wrong thing. Now let's say this so that you don't get this twisted. It simply means when it comes to sowing and reaping, it's not about God. Of course, if you do the wrong thing, you pay for it. Now that's
the
why
consequences.
The consequences are there. That's why if you were with us some weeks ago on Expose, the Prodigal Father series, where we talked about when a younger son wasted his resources in a faraway country.
When
he did that, he began to eat with the pigs. He paid the price. See, a son of a man who has so much inheritance. That's Luke chapter 12. His father was so wealthy, but because of his wrong choices and wrong decisions in Luke 12, you can see the parable of the prodigal father. You see, because of his wrong choices and all that, you see what happened to him? Eventually, he did what? He actually began to eat with the pigs. So it means there were consequences. But sowing and reaping only happened horizontally. Yeah. How did I know that? Because when even after he did all he did, the Father was still waiting for him. I think it's Luke 15, isn't it? Or 12. Now the Father was still waiting for him to come back home even after all he did. It means then, sowing and reaping doesn't work with the Father. He only works on this plane. And I think the earlier we understand that, we will stop being actually living below the standard where God has put us in. And that's what we've noticed. Now, so what we've established is, of course, sowing and reaping exists.
And it
of
works.
Course, it works. But also, of
it
course,
was little. You can see from that from that story, that Luke 19, it was like you could have gotten little from it. You know, it's already established that there is very little, no matter what the folds and percentage it is, it's still little compared to what the Father can give.
Amen.
He said, if you have given this one talent, if you have given it to the bands, if you have sold it, at least you will have reaped something out of it. Just something. You have reaped a little. But you know, it was little. No matter what it is, no matter what you are excited about, no matter what the percentage you are thinking about for sowing and reaping is still very little compared to what God is offering.
To what the Father has to offer by His grace. And you see, if you were with us, one thing we've actually tried to establish for our listeners is simple, that in the new covenant, when it comes to giving, we give because we know we have received. And I think that's very important. Have you noticed that Jesus said to your disciples, that freely you have received, freely give. So our giving is on the understanding and the revelation that God has blessed us with all blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, Luke chapter 6, we're going to continue with this, how, you know, this law of sowing and reaping. Luke chapter 6, and we see what the depth of the word we need to look at there. Now, if we look at Luke chapter 6, I think we should read from verse 31, please. Luke 6 from verse 31. And again, we're going to look at this from a different perspective. Luke 6, 31. What does it say there?
Okay. And as you would, verse 30, give to every man that asketh of it. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again.
If anybody, don't ask them again. Okay, go on, please.
And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise.
Can you see that? Now, again,
the golden rule.
Now, please, viewers all over the world, if you're a firm believer in the law of sowing and reaping, please listen to this verse. Now, watch this. Let's take it slowly. As you would want men
to do to you,
not God. Can you see that? Again, even though Jesus was the one teaching here, Jesus said, if you, whatever you want men to do to you,
do
unto them. Now, God is not in this equation. Now, continue, please.
Verse 32.
Yeah.
For if you love them which love you,
okay,
what thank have you?
Okay.
For sinners also love those that love them.
Okay.
And if you do good to them, we do good to you.
Okay.
What thank have you? For sinners also do
now,
good
now,
to
now,
them.
Now, this again is a bit confusing now. If you look at it on the surface, what is Christ trying to actually make us understand here? Jesus is simply saying, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. But, now watch this, but don't do unto others as they did unto you. Okay, let's take it again.
Okay.
Now, Jesus said, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. But don't do unto others as they did unto you. Now, I'll slow it down again so that we can get this. Here is sowing and reaping again coming to play. See, again, read verse 31. It says,
should do to you.
Okay.
Do you also to them likewise.
Look at verse 33.
And if you do good to them, which do good
so,
to you?
No, Jesus said, no. Even though I told you to do good to people as you want them to do to you, but I don't want you. The reason why I said that is not because of sowing and reaping. And I think I now we need to slow this down so we can get it. Because when Jesus said, do good unto others as you want them to do unto you, a casual reader thinks, oh, yes, this is karma. This is karma. Jesus is going to explain karma. But Jesus almost explained karma and scattered in the middle. Now, again, if you're going to explain karma, this is karma. Do good unto others as you want them to do to you, and if they do good to you, do good back to them. That would have been the complete karma cycle. But Jesus said, I told you to do good to people as you want them to do to you, not because I want you to operate law of sowing and reaping. I want you to benefit people the way you want to be treated, but don't go about trying to do good back to people because they did good to you. Because I will soon tell you to do good to people who do bad things to you. I want you to operate beyond sowing and reaping. Hello? Because if you notice, if you read the next few verses, he said to them, even if they do bad to you, do good to them. And he will tell them why they need to do that. So let's say this straight. Jesus never really subscribe to the so-called karma concept.
The sowing and reaping
No.
concept.
Because that's why I said, when we read the Bible, we need to ask for revelation to read between the lines of what Christ is saying. Christ simply said, don't ever do good to people because they do good to you. If you do that, all you have just subjected yourself to is the law of sowing and reaping.
And so there is a higher one.
He says it's higher. Higher law that says, don't repay people who have done good to you just because they were the ones that did good to you, and neglect people who didn't do good to you. That's what it's simply saying. Mm-hmm. Now, continue, please.
Because people will see it. And if you do good to them, we do good to you. What thank have we? For sinner also do good the same.
He says, if only the people who do good to you are the ones that you do good to, fine, you're operating a principle. That's kind of basic. That's a natural law. So what is spiritual about your life? What is divine about your life?
What is the new system?
If what pastors teach is, if you put in money into the coffers and then you get back returns, please, how is that different from doing a money investment? Mm-hmm. How is that different from what sinners operate? What is the grace of God in that? That's why I say, what's the difference? He said, why
do you different from Ponzi schemes and the
why? Now, he says, why will you tell me you're spiritual and those men are carnal? What's the difference? All you've done is just play by the same system. But we know that the system of God is incomparable to what men can offer. That's the reason why we simply say even the best of men in goodness cannot beat the goodness of God. And you see, the way people teach giving today actually reduces God's goodness to the level of man. It brings down, it actually spoils the goodness of God and brings it down to men's level. So he simply says, if you pay people back based on what they did to you. So Christ is simply saying, what's the difference between the principle you are living by and the principle sinners live by? What is the effect of the grace of God in your life? That's what he simply says. If you are clamoring to operate in sowing and reaping, better understand you are reducing God's grace in your life to the level of sinners.
And later on the passage, you can see that God established himself that he has a different system again. Here.
Again, now read it. Verse 34. Go on, please.
And if he lent to them of whom you hope to receive.
Again.
So they said, give so that you can receive.
Again. Christ is actually scattering the law of sowing and reaping. Now, again, listen. Like I said, we're going to come to verses in the New Testament that is about sowing and reaping. So Christ is simply saying, if the reason you are giving is because you've actually measured up how much you're going to what?
Receive.
He said, that's fairly. If you do that, well, he says, what is the effect of God's grace in your life? It's you are just as good as operating a natural system. Go on, please.
For sinners also learn to sinners to receive as much gain. So it's a bankers, investment.
Sinners also do the same. In fact, when it comes to politics, some sinners, what they do is, general people, they just, they can bankroll a candidate,
yes,
knowing fully well that if I bankroll this candidate and this candidate becomes the next president or the next prime minister, then I can get my investment back. People do that. And then it's a thing of shame to see the body of Christ in most cases reduce giving to the same concept and the same mentality, where we bring down giving to the matter of saying, you know what, you want God to be able to react to you this year, you want God to move you to the next level, it's time to make God reactive by giving something. And if we do that, we've actually brought God down to this same canal level system of doing things, so the same system. Go on, please.
But love ye your enemies.
Okay, now, please, what is sowing and reaping in that?
That is a new thing.
But, now, it means, please don't go down the route of sowing and reaping. Now, he said, don't do that. Don't ever go down the route. He says,
it's just basic.
I'm just going to ask you to love your enemies. Now, when he said that, that's amazing, because your enemies, of course, don't deserve to be loved by you. So it means he's saying, I'm asking you to give to someone what they don't deserve. So somebody's going to reap your love, and they never sowed love to you. Now, how do you explain such a principle? Now, how do you explain that? If Jesus is telling us to operate by this principle, so you think God himself will operate by a lower principle? Come on.
You can't.
Come on. If Jesus is teaching the body of Christ, is teaching you and I in this place that we should operate by a higher principle, so why is it that the church of God today has brought God down to operate below such a principle?
He will establish what he will do.
Okay, what did he say?
But love you your enemies and do good and lend open for nothing.
Okay.
Again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil.
So again, again, we're going back to the ravens. If you were there, where we talk about the ravens in Luke chapter what? Was it Luke 12?
Luke 12.
We talk about the ravens, that the worst kind of bird that a father can feed without sowing and reaping. Even if there's a bird that should sow before reaping, is the raven. They're very terrible. But you see, the father feeds them. And I said, Jesus especially made the choice of the raven. Mm-hmm. So we can understand that. And it says, the father still feeds them. So it means the father feeds a bird that doesn't deserve it.
Now, the nature of the father.
He said the father's nature is always to give people what they don't deserve.
And he's calling us as children to
that. He said, live the same way.
Live to your now, true nature. If you are the son of the father.
You should also, don't operate karma. I said, don't operate karma cycle. Now, that's why I simply said, Jesus never. Because people say, oh, Jesus said, now, I don't talk about giving to give. We're going to get there very soon. Now, Jesus simply said, don't operate the karma cycle. Don't do it. Because even as the father, he doesn't operate it. Now, can you see that? Now, if you are in doubt today, if you've ever been in doubt in your life, and you've actually thought that the way God will bless you this year is how much, if some people say, well, my first month salary, I'm going to make sure I give it to the father, I give it to God, so that this year I can have God's great favor in my destiny, in my life. I'm believing God for something great. Now, when you say things like that, this is what you're doing. It is not innocent. What you're simply doing is you are bringing God below this level.
Yeah.
You're bringing that all the way down, even below the level that Jesus said we should operate beyond. And that's very disheartening that people do that. Now, that's what it says here. Now, it says, do this as your Father in heaven does. I'm asking you to live by a revelation of the Father's true nature. I'm expecting you to live this way because that's the Father's nature. That's how the Father deals with us.
We should give according to this. You know, we can see the principle of giving here because he even mentioned the word lend, give. You know, it's challenging every aspect of life, mm-hmm. sowing and reaping, even to giving. Because some people might just say sowing and reaping, sowing kindness and all those things, sowing of honor. Mm. We're talking of even reaping when you want to give somebody something to someone, lend it. Mm. The Father is saying, do it like me.
Mm-hmm.
My nature
and when I give, I don't even actually give because people deserve it. That's what it says.
He said, give to the enemy, give to the evil. For his kind unto the unthankful, even people that will not be grateful.
Okay.
Even to the not open to get anything back.
Okay.
That is how the Father and is calling us. We should be true to ourselves, to our nature.
You know, I like that unthankful. It means if somebody tells you that you've not actually praised God enough, how do you expect God to bless you that much this year when you've not been so thankful enough?
Yes, you need
for
to
God
shout
to
and praise.
Now see, all those things are human traditions. It's not, and like we said, vertically to the Father, sowing and reaping doesn't work. It only works on this plane. And that's the reason, even though, like I think we need to keep emphasizing this part, even though you are a Christian, there are some things you do on this realm. If you do wrong things, if you actually engage in wrong actions, there are consequences for what you do. We're not saying there are no consequences, but the consequences are not from the Father. They're on this realm. As far as the Father is concerned, he gives you what you don't deserve. You know why? Because Jesus got what you deserve, and you got what Jesus deserve, and that's the divine exchange.
And that's what I think our audience should note from this is like we saw this two system, and basically, if you just stay on the level of sowing and reaping, you are not just different from a sinner. So why were you blood washed? That is the thing.
What's the effect of the grace
of
God
upon your life? Because they said sinners will do the same. Mm-hmm. They do good to those that do good to them and do bad to those that do bad to them. The law of the agricultural system works that way. What you put on the ground, you get back. In a natural investment, that is how the world is operating. So what is the difference that you have the life of God? What's the difference that you know the Father? What's the difference that you have the nature of the Father in you? And we see the nature of the Father in all of these chapters. In Luke 6, Luke 12, Luke 19. That he gives to the one that doesn't deserve. He gives to the unthankful. He gives to the evil. He brings rain even to the evil and to the good. So he does it without.
Now put yourself on the receiving end of the Father. Can you see that? Put yourself. So it means, what do you need to do to deserve God's favor in your life? Can you see that? The answer is zero.
He doesn't give according to sowing. He gave according to himself.
To his nature.
To his nature.
He said you will be like your Father in heaven. Can you see that?
So we are encouraging you to move up higher from the level, the basic level, because it's just basic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then if you say you are comfortable with it and everything, we have established it before you even get all your returns, even the percentage is just on the same level. You know, it's only with Father, the generous giver, that can give you beyond your level, beyond the scale. You know, you can't find the scale for it. Mm-hmm. It's when you give in pounds, in talents, you get cities, you know, you can't, there's no comparison for that. You know, when you give money, you can get riches according to his glory. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the level that the Father operates, which is higher than sowing and reaping. So I hope that you, that our viewers today will be able to move away, move into a higher realm, and operate in the same Father's operating system, which is higher than sowing and reaping.
Father's nature.
Yes, that's the Father's nature. And I don't think we can go further.
We can carry on from that.
I think tomorrow, that is 9 a.m. UK time, we'll continue on this series because of the time. And so I just hope that our viewers will be able to look back and go and look back at all those chapters, Luke 6, Luke 19, everything we have said today, to consider it and if it were true. And so today we want to release you, and I say that the God's word, you'll be filled with the knowledge of God's will, in all understanding, and in all wisdom. So tomorrow when we'll see again, we'll continue on this, and we hope that you'll be blessed as you are blessed today. So bye.
Bye.